must have a growing faith. In Matthew 13, chapter verse 31, 32, Christ compared his church with a mustard seed. Very little, and it grew to be a big thing. Christ's church is a growing church. You know why I know that? Because Christ said so. And this particular passage declares it to be so. But faith is a motivation for the church to grow. Galatians 6:10 tells us the church is a household of faith. And if you don't have faith, you're not a household. And that faith is what motivates us to do what we have to do. It is the members must have a growing faith so the Holy Spirit may accomplish his work that Christ designed for us to carry out in Matthew 28, chapter 18 to 20. Every member has a role in the growing church, even as Christ said in Mark 13:34, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and every man his work. That means every member of the body of Christ has a task to perform. Our Lord expects every one of us to grow in his growing church and to do our part or suffer the consequence for our unbelief. You're like the one talent man in Matthew 25, 24 to 30. Unbelief in Christ and his word is keeping some from having faith that could motivate them to act upon the Great Commission, the only means that God designed for it to grow. And not willing to put his hand to the plow for lack of faith, as God said. You know, we need to heed Apostle Paul's admonition and instructions that he gave to those who had unbelief, like the Jews of old. Did not enter the promised land for unbelief. The first generation lost it all. And Hebrews 4, chapter 1 and 2 tells you that we need to be careful or we can be left out for unbelief. You know, Christ spoke to us and disciples, members of the church, that we need to carry out the Great Commission. That Great Commission was not only given to the leaders, the apostles and the evangelists and the elders, where it may be. He gave it to all the body of Christ. You read verse 20. Teach them to observe all things that I command you. And one of the commandments was, go and preach the gospel. Teach the word of God. And that's one of the responsibilities every member of the body of Christ has. But unbelief has kept some from doing it because they don't mix faith in what Christ said like the Jews of old. God spoke to the Jews of old, but the Jews of old did not mix faith what God said. In our generation, we're not mixing our faith what Christ said and brings unbelief. You know, I've gone with individuals in Bible college. At the time, these young men had a lot of faith, a lot of zeal, really want to work for the Lord. But I noticed many of them abandoned the faith and abandoned God's program and using unscriptural methods, false ideologies, just to get the church growing. Well, they may grow in numbers by their own merits, but not by God who gives the increase. For God only gives the increase to those that hold to the head. If you don't hold to the head, you're cut off and you got no power and no strength. God don't give no increase. Colossians, the second chapter, verse 19 said, and I like the NIV, if you disconnect yourself from the head, you don't have the nourishment or strength nor increase from God. It's not there. Ephesians 4, 15, 16 have basically the same thing. It is not God who's giving increase to these individuals, those that abandoned the head and caused the church to grow. But you know who gives that increase? According to 1 Timothy 4, chapter verse 1, it's demons. It's giving them the increase through false ideologies. And the sooner we learn to exercise faith in Christ and his word in his growing church in harmony with his will, with his program, so he may be pleased with us, our faith, and our labors. You know, the old prophet of old once said, it's not unscriptural practice No uncompromising to please God. You remember old Saul. He had no business of sacrificing and doing what he shouldn't have done. But he compromised. He used his own method. He used his own sacrificing. And you know what Samuel said? It's best, and what God delights is obedience. That was God's responsibility for the priest, Samuel, to do the sacrificing. If the sacrifice not done, that's not Saul's problem. That was Samuel's. I certainly believe we all want to be part of a Christ growing church. Well, you don't want to be here, would you? It's obvious. That's where we want to be. And I certainly hope that none of us lose our souls at the expense of not having our name in the book of life because we have chosen to compromise God's word using unscriptural practice and methods to increase the body of Christ. Exodus 32:20-33 and Revelation 3:5 tell us that God only takes the name out of the book of life that sinned against him. Therefore, let us not follow the multitude to do evil. Exodus 23:2. Since Christ is a growing church, then there must be a growing faith from its members. That growing faith comes from hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17, just like those heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 chapter, the Hall of Fame of God. They exercise it. That made a difference. We hear the word of God, but we don't exercise it. And those Hall of Fame heroes in Hebrews 11 chapter, they exercise their faith. And if we hear the word of God and exercise it, we will have faith, and our faith will increase. These heroes gave a perfect example of the kind of faith is pleasing with the promise of reward, those who exercise their faith like they did. So let's consider the kind of faith they possess and the effect upon their lives that motivate them to grow in their faith, in their labor for God, no matter in what circumstances, surroundings, situation they find themselves in. Apostle Paul set forth in Hebrews 11 chapter the kind of faith his people had. Excuse me. Sometimes I can't read my notes. I'm not a good speller. I was 18 years old when I finished eighth grade. Okay. Apostle Paul set forth in Hebrews 11 chapter the kind of faith that God's people is to have, not only to please him, but to use it in the work of the church so it may grow. I certainly believe the Apostle Paul made it very clear the kind of faith that God expects in our lives as we live a righteous and labor for him as they go through trials and temptations and hardships of life as individuals collectively, as he said in these heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 chapter. You know what it says there? Every act those individuals did, the Bible always says, and the Holy Spirit emphasized, by faith. Through faith. These saints didn't have it easy. They struggled like you and I. But yet, their faith carried them through. Now, this is the kind of faith that God is seeking for and looking for that pleases him. Did you know Hebrews 11 chapter verse 6 says it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. You must believe that he is final authority in everything and that he is God, that we are the creatures to serve the Creator and that he'll reward us. Now that passage in that verse 6 is right along with the rest of the chapter. It explains the kind of faith he's talking about. And if you don't have that kind of faith that Hebrews 11 chapter is describing, then you cannot please God. Now, these saints didn't have it easy. And that's the kind we need to have. But you know why we don't have it? Lack of faith. Lack of faith. And you know that's the greatest hindrance our Lord's church is facing right now? Lack of faith. For this generation, there are many who do not exercise their faith. They did exercise their faith when they accepted Christ. They believe they need to repent of sins. They believe that to confess their faith in Christ. They believe they need to be baptized. But after that, they quit exercising it. They didn't carry on. What we want from God is to give us strong faith, good faith, with no effort in our part. We're like the apostles when Christ just got through telling them that you need to forgive your brother. And the apostle cried out, Jesus, increase our faith. Because, you know, it's hard to forgive sometimes, isn't it? And we need a lot of faith. And you know what Christ said? Exercise the little faith you have. And you'll get it. And this is exactly what the heroes of Hebrews 11 chapter did. They exercised their faith. Faith in obedience to God. Right from the beginning, as they lived for God and serving Him. Right from the start. Let's not notice some of these heroes of faith. I'll probably just give one division. All right. Now, Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 23, 29. I'm not going to read it, but I'll condense it. But Moses chose to be with the Hebrew people instead of the Egyptians, to suffer the affliction with the people instead of enjoying the comforts and pleasures of Egypt. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh, but kept the Passover and crossed the Red Sea by faith. Did you notice how Moses demonstrated his faith? Now, Moses was next to the throne. He was a prince. He had all the comforts. He had everything he wants. He could enjoy all the worldly pleasures of sin. Everything was in his reach. And yet, by faith, he went to suffer with God's people. That's faith. And by faith, he didn't fear Pharaoh. Moses could see that God had a plan for him. He fled because he needed to keep his life, live on, so he can do the job that God wanted to do, to deliver the Jews. And likewise, Abraham showed his faith by obedience. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By faith, he left his hometown. He left maybe a beautiful house. He probably left beautiful furniture. He left his security in the city of Ur Chaldeans. To go where? Into an unknown country. God didn't tell him where he's going to go. I'm going to show you the country. He left by faith. He lived in inconvenience. Abraham was a wealthy man. He could have built a home in Cana. But God said, that's not your land. I'm going to show you. Abraham lived in tents. That's not a comfortable place. And Abraham, living in convenient a tent house, he never loaned a land. He never had a piece of land except one, where he bought a piece of land to bury his loved ones. Faith that has no obedience is a dead faith. We may as a congregation cry out and say we believe in Christ. We believe in God. But yet if we don't practice what God tells us to do, we have no faith. We have no faith. James 2:26 tells us that a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without the body is dead. Sarah, by faith received strength to conceive seed and deliver a child Isaac, because she judged God to be a faithful true to his promise. Hebrews 11:12. Now, if she had acted upon her faith, there would be no Isaac. There would be no Jacob. There'd be no Judah. There'd be no Messiah. Do you know that? Jesus wouldn't have come through to the world or through her. But because faith in obedience to the Messiah, Jesus came in the world. Noah, by faith being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepare an ark of saving of souls, of saving of his house. Hebrews 11:7. Now we could go on and mention more, but these are sufficient that we can see that these heroes were motivated by faith. And we can, if we can understand the kind of faith that they had, this is the kind of faith that God is seeking today. Hebrews 11, chapter 6, tells you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Matthew 8, chapter 9 through 10, talking about a centurion. Remember that centurion that came to Christ, they wanted to be healed, his servant, and the servant said, don't worry, don't go to him out for years, just say the word, he'd be well. And then Jesus marveled at his faith. Luke 18, 8 tells us, when Christ comes, will he ever find faith that God's looking for? We may justify ourselves for not exercising like faith as these heroes, who were just as human as you and I, who had the same kind of weakness as you and I possess, who has experienced more trials and problems and headaches than any of us, many temptations they have to overcome, but who were made perfect because of the Messiah. Genesis 3:15. He's not giving a promise to the Jews only. That promise was universal. That was the Gentiles and Jews. And those Jews kept their law by faith, and those Gentiles kept the law by faith in obedience to God. The Messiah took care of whatever weakness they had. Faith. We can only possess it if we do what Christ and the apostles did, what Christ told the apostles, to exercise our faith. But you know what? If we don't exercise faith, we cannot increase faith, and we cannot do the will of God. Because if you don't believe something, you're not going to do it. You're not going to act on it. I can't help but marvel at the, you know, Christ came to the Jews. You know who the Jews are? Supposedly being God's people, right? They're the ones that really supposed to have faith, ain't they? They witnessed a lot of miracles. They had a lot of prophets. They had a lot of things. But when this centurion came to Christ and appealed to him to heal the servant and told him, you don't have to say it, go, because I'm an officer. I tell my servant to do this, they do that, and so forth, and they do it. And you, the Messiah, the Son of God, I don't know if he knew him to be the Son of God, but he had heard enough of the miracles and everything that Christ had done that he knew that Christ all had to say, speak the word, and disease will leave. And Jesus said, verily, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in my people. Not even Israel. Matthew 10. What kind of faith did he possess that caused Jesus to marvel? I'll let you judge what kind of faith he had. And then consider, do you have that kind of faith? But you may think, that's impossible to have such a faith as a centurion or his heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 chapter. Wrong. We may show it like, we may not be able to show like they did in their era of time, but we can show it our faithful obedience to the New Testament teachings. We can. John 14, 23, 24 tells you that. These heroes of faith, they left a testimony that you and I can do it. After he recorded all those heroes of faith in the 11th chapter, notice in Hebrews the 12th chapter, what I have to say. Okay. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Who are the witness? Hebrews 11 chapter. All those heroes. They're the witness. They're cheering us on. You can do it. You're capable. We did it. You can do it too. But then he said, lay aside every what? Sin that beset us.
And that's how they did it. They started laying aside sins. We got to do likewise. He's telling us you and I can have the same kind of faith they had. What they possess, it can be ours. But we need to exercise it like they did. They exercised obedience to God and whatever God told them to do. And they did it, no matter the consequence. And no matter the hardships and the sufferings or the pain they had to go through. These witnesses in Hebrews 12 chapter are the heroes of faith that left a testimony that we can do it. For the reminders, they were just as human as you are. Man had never changed. Man, nature has been the same. That's why the Bible fits any generation. But the difference from some of us is our faith that we just believe. You can believe something, but not act on it. You young kids, you can believe your parents have authority over you, but you may not act on it. You may rebel. And that's basically got trouble. We believe this Bible being inspired. We believe the New Testament church. We believe the terms of pardon. We believe the holiness of life. But we don't act on it. We're not acting on it. Hebrews 11:13 shows you they act on their promises that God gave them. Their faith caused them to lay aside sin and that kept them from righteous life and doing God's work. They succeeded because of the faith. And also likewise, we can do the likewise. We can be faithful. We can succeed. Maybe not in the eyes of man, but we can surely succeed in the eyes of God. The problem with some of us, or some churches, we don't seem to get away from the mustard seed faith. Little faith. Because of unbelief. Well, we don't think or believe we cannot repent. Oh, I heard people, I cannot give up that sin. Man, that's a hard sin. I have this emotion in my heart so hard that I just can't get rid of it. Oh, I cannot give my drugs. I cannot give my tobacco. I cannot give this and that. You know what we want? We want an easy life. Easy to repent. Everything just go smoothly. With no struggles, no overcoming, no hardship in our part to accomplish what God told us to do. Let me tell you, if God didn't say to repent, then I can agree you may not be overcoming. But God said you can repent. Likewise, you repent or what? You likewise perish. So you can't tell me you can't repent. See, we don't want no hardships. We don't want no persecution. We don't want any hardship if we live for Christ. Or whatever we do as a part of the collective church. We want sinners to respond, but no, give us no opposition. No, give us no heartaches. Don't give us no difficulty. We don't want no inconvenience. We want comfort. If we have a church building, we make sure we have refrigeration and a drinking fountain. You know that? We want nice buildings before we can really get in our hands to the plow and do the work of God. Well, some of us don't want to go through what these heroes went through that strengthened their faith and became the kind of faith that God was pleased with. Notice Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. If you want your Christian life easy, you better start considering the heroes of faith and what Christ went through before you make those decisions. Notice Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Wherefore, seeing we also compass about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and that sin which doth so easily beset us, And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's doing God's will and accomplish God's purpose and heading for heaven. Now notice, looking unto Jesus, the author, eternal finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and was set down at the right hand, the throne of God. You know what that shows you? Not only the heroes had to have hardship to fulfill what God said by faith, but even Jesus had to suffer. He had faith on the scheme of redemption that they designed to save man. And he had faith that he had to go through the pain, suffering, and the torture he experienced to carry out the plan of redemption to bring us salvation. Now notice verse 3. For consider him that endures such contradiction for us sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your mind. You having hardships? You having difficulty in your Christian life? You struggle to do what God tells you to do? Just look at what Christ went through. It wasn't easy for him either to do God's purpose. Another verse 4. You have not resisted what? You haven't resisted unto blood. Have you ever shed a little blood for your faith in Christ? The heroes of faith did. Christ did. I agree with you. No, I don't want to see that day, but if it does, we have to accept it. Yes. But what we want, in all reality, what we really crave for, is a dead faith. Believe in God. Believe in Christ. Believe the church. Believe the teaching of Christ. But don't practice it. Just dead faith. Don't act on it. We like to please ourselves. We want all the convenience. We want everything to be easy for our Christian life. But God didn't invite us for that purpose. 2 Corinthians 5:15 said, Christ, he resurrected the grave that you may serve him. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 tell us that our life should be changed. Well, time's going on. So I'm going to flip over here. I will bring the conclusion. What kind of faith God is looking for? Well, he defined it in Hebrews 11 chapter. It's defined. Let me tell you. In Hebrews 11 chapter verse 1, let me read that. And this is what faith is all about. And then, after he described that verse, what faith is all about, then he shows examples that demonstrate the faith of verse 1. And then in verse 6, says, if you don't have that kind of faith, you can't please God. Now notice in Hebrews 11 chapter. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. Now in the King James, it's pretty good, and some other translations, it's pretty decent. But there's two words there, substance and evidence. In the Greek for substance, simply means the essence, or the assurance, or the confidence, or the foundation that's going to provoke you to act. Evidence comes from the Greek word means proof or convictions. And now notice, conviction, I'll read it this way. Now faith is the essence of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. No one ever saw the flood, yet he believed it. He acted on it. It actually took place. Joshua and his men went around Jericho. There was no evidence to prove the wall was going to fall. Just by blowing the trumpet and shouting. They acted in faith. They had convictions. They had assurance and confidence what God said it would come to pass. Jeremiah 1:12 tells you that. So the faith that God is looking for is faith that we act upon what we believe. And God said, repent of your drugs, repent. Demonstrate your faith on it. God said, repent of your morality, repent. Demonstrate your faith. If God said, repent of your anger and hate, repent. Show your faith. Demonstrate it. This is the kind of faith that God is looking for in a growing church. Because we have this kind of faith, the church will grow. We want the faith that will bring about a growing faith, individually, collectively. And that faith is to move us into action, move us into obedience, trusting in God to watch over us like he did. Apostle, you know what Apostle Paul said? And St. Corinthians, Paul used the word of God, misused it, etc. And then verse 4 said how Satan, through the false teaching, had blinded the people from seeing the truth, and then not to see the glorious gospel. Then he gives a list of the persecution and the hardships and difficulties faced in life. And then he said this, I believe, and therefore I've spoken. And we also believe, and therefore speak. He didn't stop believing the word of God, even though he suffered for it. He didn't quit teaching it. He didn't quit practicing it. He just worked on it. That is faith. Now, beloved, there's no one here that really don't want to lose their salvation. We all want to go to heaven. That's why we're here. But if you're not a Christian, you ought to be one. 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells you, today is the day of salvation. And us that are Christian, members of the body of Christ, we need to exercise a faith. Let me tell you this. When you was immersed in water baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and Christ washed your sins away, God wants to work in your life. And you know what he says? When God starts a work, he'll carry it till Christ comes. Philippians 1:6. He'll finish it. Philippians 2:13 tells you that God works in you. And then Philippians 4:13, there's two parts. There's a part that God does, and the part you do. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, my friend, let us labor together in faith. Let us collectively work in faith. Let us individually live in faith. Because without that faith, God's not pleasing. We seem to have left faith alone because of denominationalism. But you know, the whole salvation of man is based on faith. Let's trust in God. What may come, may go. Just do what God tells you to do in faith, and let God give the increase in his own time.